This is the U105 phone-in with Frank Mitchell.
Good morning. How are you this morning? A little bit of sunshine coming through the window, always a welcome sight. Young people and their mental health. Apparently children are being failed in Northern Ireland. Also on the programme this morning, are too many young people being stopped and searched? Are too many Catholics in prison? Are you more likely to be quizzed by the police if you're a traveller? We look at the latest report from the criminal justice system. Plus the changes you might find rather surprising if you phone for an ambulance in the future. And the top 10 most annoying things about people from here. If you'd like to add to the list, feel free. Is there anything that you see people do that really narks you? Would you like to go over top them on the shoulder and say, excuse me, please, don't do that. 02890-333-105 is the best number to get us on. You can email studio at u105.com. Now, young people and their mental health. I think part of the problem is, you know, when I was young, we didn't even know that young people had mental health. But now, today, there is a considerable amount of waiting that doesn't need to be done, that is being experienced by young people who are in urgent need of mental health care and assistance. And they've someone to speak on their behalf. Kula Uesuma is the Commissioner for Children and Young People. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I am very well. Urgent reform is needed when it comes to children's mental health in Northern Ireland. That's the message from you. And as I say, when I was young, I'm not sure that we even talked about children's mental health. We've come a long way, but we haven't travelled far enough. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's, in a nutshell, what I'm saying. I think it would be wrong to say back in the 80s when you were a young man that the children, young people didn't have mental health issues. They did, but what wasn't available for them was the environment in which they can speak about it. But Frank, before we go on, let me just say something. Our mental health system isn't failing our children. It could do better. And 80% of the children, young people we spoke to advised other young people with mental health issues to seek help. Help is there. What we've described today is sometimes it takes far too long for children to access their help and to access the right help. But please, 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 if anyone is concerned about a child or a young person or a young person is concerned about their own mental health, please, please, please pick up the phone and get the help you need.
So what is the first step for any family who's got a young person who's got a difficulty with mental health or any young person who just feels they are challenged? Is the first step the GP or is there another quicker route?
What the young people we spoke to and were involved in our review said, they said that GPs weren't always the best service to go to because they weren't the ones who knew about them and knew about their issues, although they can refer in. So if a young person, look around at the adult trust and who it is you go and talk to them. If you're a young person in secondary school...
My goodness me, with the strangest line, Commissioner. I'm just wondering what is wrong with that. It seems to be doing a lot of beep, beep, beeping. I'll just check that once more. Maybe it's bouncing off your cheekbone, the actual button telephone.
But go ahead. Okay. In every secondary school setting, there is a school counsellor available, so you can ask for help from them. You can talk to the trusted adults around you. There are a number of helplines, Childline, Samaritans, Lifeline, that you can go and get help to. You just need to talk to somebody. And what young people were saying to us is that they don't always know that you can. So we need to, as adults, to create that environment where we can talk. And also, as adults, particularly our teachers, need to, if they see a child struggling, if they see a child that may have mental health issues, to go and ask the questions, ask how they can help. And we need to create the environment where young people can talk to us, because they are, as you said, facing incredible pressures, particularly, you know, from schools, from families, from their friends, within their communities and online as well. And we need to be sure that we can reach out to them and find the right help that meets the needs of that individual child.
There are so many reasons, as you've suggested, as to why a young person will have a mental health challenge. It's got to do with bullying. It's got to do with personal image, the internet, as you've said, just maybe feeling low. It's an influence maybe of family circumstances. The list goes on and on. One of the other issues we have to keep in mind, and it is real in this survey, is the use of alcohol and drugs.
It's very real, and what we focus on two groups of young people once we did the big survey, where we went out and talked to young people with a learning disability, but also those young people who take drugs and alcohol. And what many of them were saying to us, it's not that I have a drug or alcohol addiction, it's that I have underlying mental health issues. And what I'm doing is what they describe as self-medicating. I am taking these substances to try and block out my issues. So what we need is not to judge these young people, not just to treat, not to try and just get them sober or down, but to address what's going on underneath. Because it's these young people who often are in our accident and emergency services, who are often having mental health crises, and who often not always have thoughts of hurting themselves. And it's these young people we have to say, we need to find out what's going on with you, and we need to find a way of looking after you. And at the moment, there is no place where families and young people who take substances are able to go in a residential place and stay safe while they tackle these very, very complicated issues.
And finally, if you had a magic wand, how would it be cured? Who would you be aiming your message directly at?
I wish I could say there was one person. There isn't. If I had a magic wand, I would make sure that we had a service that promoted good mental health, that made sure that we had those messages about being healthy, that prevented poor mental health developing, and then finally, if it did develop, that we were able to respond quickly and appropriately, that we had a menu of services that young people could access, and that all systems that are involved with children, whether it's education, whether it's youth work, whether it's health, whether it's justice, work together to make sure that we can respond appropriately to our children when they're in this desperate situation.
So many agencies that this is relevant to. Commissioner Kulit Yuasuma, thank you very, very much indeed for your time this morning. 02890 333 105, you've a relevant story to tell us. Of course, here on the U105 phone-in, we'd like to hear it. Okay, you can pick up the phone. You can give us a ring right here, right now. 02890 333 105. So text me in the morning. 077-66-105-105. Whatever you want to say, we cover it for you here on U105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
On the list of 10 things that annoy you about people from Northern Ireland, I must tell you about the one that really sparked our conversation this morning. It was an email from a guy called Malcolm. Malcolm, good morning to you. Multi-story car park, enclosed car park in brackets. He says he was watching a driver come into the car park, drive to the fourth floor, take a phone call as soon as the driver parked, didn't switch off the engine, then continued to talk on the phone for a considerable amount of time with the smoke belching out of the exhaust. No consideration whatsoever for other people using that multi-story car park, everyone having to breathe in the fumes of the car that had parked but didn't switch off its ignition. So is that thoughtless, or is that a bad example of, or rather, is it a good example of a thoughtless person from Northern Ireland, or really is it a bad example of someone being thoughtless because you're so busy, you park your car, the phone rings, it's an important message, you know, you're not breaking any rules or laws, you're now on the phone, you're taking the call, you're sorting out your itinerary for the rest of the day, but you've forgotten to switch off the car engine? Is it thoughtlessness or is it just sort of an oversight? Do let us know. Malcolm, will that make the top 10 of things that irritate you about people from Northern Ireland? We're going to draw one up this morning. Do let us know. 0289033105. People generally, locally, what people do. There's the first one this morning from Malcolm. Driver in multi-storey car park enclosed, doesn't switch off the engine and the smoke is billowing out of the exhaust for the whole duration of the telephone call. It does come across as a bit thoughtless to me, if you don't mind me saying. Right, 0289033105. Things that annoy you about those around you. You can give us a shout.